let's talk about comets. I mean, you and I have talked about comets. Traditionally, science has thought, as astronomers have thought, they were big, dirty snowballs. And, you know, in all the interviews we've done over the years, James, you have maintained it ain't true. So, like, they sent this satellite up to capture comet dust. And we'll talk about the advisability of doing that in the first place. But they actually caught some comet dust and they brought it back. Isn't that true?
Correct.
So the argument should be over. Because we've got actual comet stuff, right?
Oh, absolutely. They should have found water and little dust particles and things that formed in the coldest environment. Mm-hmm. And that's not what they found. In fact, I get input from people, many who are not scientists, and one of the most interesting was that somebody was reading this and said, you know, they never talked about finding any water. Or any ice particles.
All right, so exactly, I mean, a lot of people in the audience don't know, and I'm included, what the hell did they find?
Well, they found what are known as CAIs.
What are those?
Those are calcium, aluminum, and what are the
Calcium and aluminum?
Yeah, and they are formed under extreme high temperatures, and then they found other materials that were,
most of the time, if you boil water, usually you don't get aluminum, do you?
No, in a composite form with other materials. So these are little, like, micro pebbles. Of minerals.
Pebbles of minerals.
That you would find, for example, in volcanic area or something like that. In the,
well, it still doesn't sound like water.
No, and it doesn't sound like dust. And they know that this did not form in a cold environment of outer space.
So what did they say? Well, there was water there, but, you know, it evaporated?
Well, and that's the thing also, that in taking photographs of these comet nuclei, they've been next to Halley's nucleus back in 86. They thought it would be white and snowy and very little dust. And it turns out to be the blackest object in the solar system. And
son of a gun.
And on Comet Build, which is the one that the Stardust mission went by. And then Comet Borealy, they've photographed that one. And then now the Comet Temple 1, which they actually crashed into.
See, if this actually came from the White House, it would have said, might have gone by. Conceivably could have gone by.
And we believe it.
But there's still sufficient doubt about whether it actually went by.
Right. Even though we have photos, we can deny them at a later date. It's amazing. They have, in fact, the point is they haven't found any water or ice of any kind on a comet nucleus. And
isn't that embarrassing?
Well, they found it in the tail, so they keep saying, well, it's got to be coming from the nucleus. And what I keep saying is, no, it's being pulled into the nucleus, and these small comets are too warm to maintain it, so that water just gets funneled back out into the comet tail region as in the form of neutrals. And that's a term, a cometary science term, for a neutral atom or molecule that is then flowing back out in the solar wind. So it's kind of a cycling process, but when they crashed into Temple 1 this past July 4th, a couple things. The entire surface, well, out of the exploded area, the crater, they found chemicals and organic chemicals and other types of dust and other materials, but no water. And they were expecting that the water must be just right under the surface. Well,
let me ask you a question, James. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine.
I'm just curious. They advertised this ahead of time as a big July 4th, you might even see it with your own eyes kind of deal. I guess they figured they were going to crash into the snowball and split it in 50 million pieces, and it was going to be this incredible sky show that people on Earth could see. Well, that didn't seem to happen. So does that give credence to what you're saying? I mean, they didn't...
Well, that part, it was just a bit harder than they thought. They did have a pretty good plume of material coming out of the crater.
Well, it was fair. I mean, the spacecraft there that was taking the photographs, that was impressive, but it wasn't visible from Earth. It wasn't that big.
No. And, in fact, the most powerful telescopes could see a brightening, but then again, they saw brightenings the day before also when was going on.
Yeah. So it seems to me that kind of bears on your case a little bit. In other words, the magnitude or the lack of it.
Right. And the spectrometer data was finally released just about a month ago from the Deep Impact. George and Richard Hoagland and myself were on July 4th waiting for this data.
Yes.
And we're all with our jaws on the ground when NASA said, well, we're not going to release the spectrometer data, which is the most important data because that tells you the composition, the temperature.
Well, wait. Why did they not release that?
Well, we now know why, because at first they said, well, we don't know if it was pointed in the right direction. Well, we already knew something was amiss. And, of course, it was pointed in the right direction because it points based on the cameras, and they had all the photographic imagery. So why would the spectrometer not be pointed in
the right
direction?
Well, see, actually, maybe it was pointed at somebody's career.
Well, they, of course, had to wait for the proper way to release the data. And this is somewhat like Hansen and his greenhouse. Data. But ultimately, when it was released, the comet nucleus was too hot to support water, and they actually had to make that statement that the temperature of the nucleus in outer space was so hot that water in any form could not exist on that nucleus.
Well, now, that seems like a...
A smoking gun?
Well, it seems like something, a choking gun is what I'd call it. I mean, didn't they choke when they had to say that?
Well, yes. And then the spectrometer data, which actually got to view the whole nucleus over the course of the passage, was able to identify, it examined the entire surface. Only 25 one-thousandths of 1% of the nucleus, that's a small amount.
Sure is.
Had any trace of water at all.
Oh, my.
And so, just to give perspective, of the 45 square miles of surface area of this comet nucleus of Tempel 1, only about 6 football fields in size had any trace of water at all. And that was just a trace which was mixed in with some surface dust, and it was not belching out and forming the tail.
Well, James, doesn't this explode some careers?
Well, this past month, much to my surprise, I was walking by a TV monitor, and the History Channel was airing a TV show, a special just made, called Comets, Prophets of Doom, where all the NASA entourage of comet scientists were on, telling how this explained the Dirty Snowball Comet model. And I thought, now I hadn't heard that term for about 2 years.
Yes.
In the media, they were talking about these icy bodies and on and on, but they never used that term. And all of a sudden, out of the woodwork came that special. Then the Thursday morning after, the BBC released an article on this stardust result called Comets Are Born of Fire and Ice, and that got wide coverage, and it came from the L.A. Times. It was reprinted in all the national newspapers, explaining these icy objects from the distant solar system also have some hot stuff in them.